The United States, Nick, after Project Blue Book, said basically, whatever these things are, we have concluded that they're not a threat to national security. Period. And so that's sort of, that's it, you know. Whatever they are, they're not a threat to national security. Now, I wonder if that is a, if the British have concluded a similar thing, and if so, how is something like that sentence justified? I mean, if something can travel in your airspace and you can do nothing about it, how can you conclude it's not a threat to national security? I've always been so curious about that.
That's a point that I've made many times, including in government, to my own bosses. It's the ultimate catch-22 of the UFO phenomenon. The party line, indeed, of both the American and the British government, and I'm sure others too, is that there's no evidence of anything of any defense significance, so there's no real need to spend too much time and resources on this. As you correctly point out, that's simply a way of saying that, generally speaking, they haven't actually shown themselves overtly and displayed outright hostility. But as you say, it's quite right. If our air defenses are routinely penetrated by structured craft of unknown origin who display speeds and maneuvers way ahead of anything we can match, when these things are tracked on radar, seen by pilots, that's got to be at least of potential concern, and therefore it must be of defense significance, and it must be something that we should take seriously. I agree.
If that doesn't constitute a threat to national defense, then I would be interested in the definition of exactly what does.
Well, you may be familiar, I'm sure you are, with a former chief of the defense staff here in the United Kingdom, who sadly died a few years ago, but Lord Hill Norton. He spoke out, and he just summed it up perfectly in relation to the Bentwaters incident in 1980, where a UFO, of course, landed and was seen by many witnesses, including the deputy base commander, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt. And Lord Hill Norton, as Britain's most senior military officer, chief of the defense staff, after his retirement, said, well, he said, there are only two possibilities. He said, either that event happened exactly as Colonel Holt and his men claim, and a UFO landed next to these two military bases, or Colonel Holt and a large body of his men hallucinated some experience whilst on duty at these two sensitive military bases. And he said, and this is the great punchline, he said, and in either of those two scenarios, it simply must be of defense concern.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, even though he made that quote probably about 10 years ago now, I don't think in many ways it's been bettered.
No. And again, this brings us back to the international aspect of it. If there is an invasion, it's probably not going to be of just Great Britain or of the U.S. or of any other single country. It's going to be of the planet. And we have no planetary defense agreements that I'm aware of, and apparently that you're aware of either. So I can't even imagine how the world would begin responding to an actual invasion.
Right.
It would be kind of a country by country. There would be no coordinated response at all.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think there's one encouraging thing, and there's an interesting parallel between the issue that we're discussing and the threat posed to the Earth by near-Earth objects such as comets and asteroids. And in fact, you can even use the same language. It's a phrase that I've often used in relation to both threats. It's a low probability, high consequence, which kind of speaks for itself. And, you know, I'm involved in the UK in an organization called Spaceguard UK, which is a group that lobbies government and the scientific community to take the threat from comets and asteroids more seriously. And, you know, there, it was crazy. Scientists used to have this view that you could have an observatory here and an observatory there looking for these things. And then they realized that most of the observatories were in the northern hemisphere, and that very few people were doing anything. And it just illustrated the craziness of a national approach to an issue like planetary defense. And I hope that governments, the military, the intelligence community, the scientific community can learn that lesson about the NEO threat and kind of make that mind shift to thinking, well, shouldn't we be looking at the UFO phenomenon in the same way?
And perhaps we should be looking at them together, because just to toss this out, Nick, a alien intelligence would have to do nothing more than manipulate a rock 5 to 7 miles in circumference or diameter toward the Earth. It would hit and virtually sterilize the Earth, and that would be that. I mean, it would be, life would be over, and it would be ready to be occupied in X number of years.
Yes, this is the, I suppose, what Hollywood has now cottoned onto this phrase, the ELE, the extinction level event. But, I mean, there are two sides to planetary defense, detection and interdiction. We're getting quite good at detection. There are now scientists doing work on the NEO threat. That's getting quite good. The next step is to think, well, if one of these planet killers, the doomsday asteroid, is detected, what do we do about it? And again, people are working on that, but I think it's something that needs to be accelerated. And yeah, actually, you know, a lot of the people and a lot of the resources that would be used on NEO defense, you could there you've got the basics of how to deal with the UFO issue. Detection and, if necessary, interdiction.